Thank you, Madam Clerk. Could you please read item 12?
From the Director, Department of Transportation and the Airport Director, requesting authorization to amend Section 4.33 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to establish an off-airport parking operator privilege fee at General Mitchell International Airport effective January 1st, 2014, and enter into agreements with off-airport parking operators to establish fees for the use of the airport.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Bateman?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I'd like to start off this item with showing you a project that we're about to undertake, which relates to the baggage claim building and the baggage claim roadway.
This summer, we'll be taking bids for a project for model baggage claim. It's really kind of the last element of the building looking at the because the concourse has all been upgraded. The King County building will be upgraded after we finish the inline baggage project. And the baggage claim building, which was built in 1955, was last remodeled in 1985. And so it involves a new roadway system. In fact, there's going to be a canopy that will be over the Bagman Road, over much of the road, partially to keep people out of the elements, which is going to be big improvement over the end of the day. So, profile down here. Here's the north end of the road, which is the last canopy that's going over the road. This is a view of the center of the building. You can actually have this going to be kind of a gathering place in that building. It's a difficult building, but it's long and narrow. But we're going to pop the ceiling out and drive some, a lot of light from that building we're going to go. Here's a section of the building. So you can see the light bulb that's going to go down the center of the building. Here's that gathering place in the building. Here's the carousel of the place. You can see the canopy that comes down. Again, view of the roadway system. We have this is our limited resource, if you will, for the airport as far as the capacity area, the curb capacity and roadway capacity. Here's a view of the front of the building, which is carried out themselves, 1 through 5, and here's 5 as well. Again, there's a view of that light bulb that goes all the way into the building. The new back wall there with some wood paneling and lights and carousels and back to service lines. That is about $48 million. We will start construction this fall. It will take about 18 to 24 months to complete because of all the phasing that's involved. Because, of course, we have to keep the building operational throughout while we take little pieces of it to construct. What we are presenting to you today is an item that actually you saw 2 years ago, and it's back before you now. Currently, the off-airport parking lots use the airport to pick up their customers and deliver them to their car, and vice versa. When the person parks their car, they deliver them to the airport. We currently charge off-airport rental cars for that privilege with a 6.5% of gross, and we also charge an 8% of gross for off-airport catering businesses. And so this is a proposal to assess a fee to those off-airport parking businesses, which also, if not but for the airport, would not have a business. Walking through the report, I've attached I've included a table showing the many of the nation's airports that include the fees that they charge these off-airport parking operators. And as you can see, the fees range across the board, and the type of fee also changes. Some of them charge a per-trip fee, some charge a per-space fee, some charge a percent gross fee. And in fact, I have included tables that show the different levels of fees that are charged and the airports that charge them. So 2 years ago, we had proposed to you an 8% gross fee, which would graduate up to 10% over time. We met with the off-airport parking operators, did not get a lot of feedback from them, no counter-proposals, but they were opposed. They were very much opposed to it.
The committee subsequently asked for legal review of the concept, and Corp Counsel came back and advised you that it was all met the rules of the law. Subsequent to that, then airport staff had consultations with the largest operator called Fast Park Relax. And we came to an alternative methodology for assessing the fee. Rather than a percent gross, we agreed to a fee of $38.51 per space per year as the method to assess an appropriate fee. Importantly, this fee, which would be assessed to all off-airport parking operators for the use of the airport, is also assessed to any hotel that also does this for a business. The agreement and the ordinance does not go to the hotels that have stay and park packages where you stay over a night and then you get free parking. But for those hotels that do off-airport parking as a business where you don't have to stay overnight, then the fee would also affect them. We did have a meeting with the off-airport parking companies and went over this with them. Didn't get a lot of feedback, but again, we did get agreement with Fast Park and Relax that this was a methodology they could live with. We also reached out to the hotels that do this for a business and suggested that we meet with them on March 12th. But no one came to that meeting, so we reached out again to have another meeting with the hotels on April 1st, and no one came to that meeting either. Fast Park and Relax is the largest of the operators with 1,700 spaces, and I've included in the report the other locations across the country where they have operations. And in the report, it shows the fees that they pay the various airports for the privilege of operating off that airport. Wally Park is a new operator that's going to that has purchased the Wyndham Hotel property. The Wyndham Hotel, as you know, is closed, and the published reports are that they're going to tear that down and build a large off-airport parking lot. I've attached to the report the places where Wally Park is located across the country and the fees that they pay to the airports that they operate. A third national operator has also indicated an interest in building an off-airport parking lot in Oak Creek at College and Howe. That is not as firm because at the Oak Creek Planning Commission meeting, they needed to produce some FAA approval documents, which they have since obtained. So whether it goes forward or not, I don't know, but it is also a large 1,100 space parking lot at College and Howe that will be built with a hotel in the back called the Sheraton. Interestingly, the Oak Creek Planning Commission, as a part of the negotiations, said, we will approve of this, but we're going to assess a fee of 50 cents per parked car per day. To go to the Oak Creek City Treasury, which actually is more revenue than is being recommended in the airport's recommendation. I've also provided the committee an estimate of parking revenues that the off-airport operators generate from producing business at the airport. I've also indicated to you what level of fees they currently pay, which is $500 per shuttle vehicle per year. And as you can see, it's a very, very small percentage of the revenues that are generated. And one of the important legal issues is that, you know, what are they getting in for this? And they, of course, use our roadways. They use our infrastructure. They're going to use our new facility that we are building. And I've shown you that the cost of providing that infrastructure is about $1.4 million a year. That's just operating costs. That's not including the $48 million that we're going to spend on a new bank lane for the benefit of all of our customers. So that's where we stand. I've attached for your information, too, surveys that have been done by other airports of this very issue across the country that and the fees that they charge. And I've also attached for your use the screenshots of the websites of the locations at the various airports across the country so you can see what they do or don't charge, and pictures of the operations here in Milwaukee. So basically, everybody at the airport that uses the airport helps pay for it. It's a self-supporting enterprise fund in Milwaukee County. And the off-airport parking companies generate significant amount of revenue from the airport, but pay very, very little to its operation. And like I said, if not but for the airport, they wouldn't have a business. And the fee that we propose here we think is a reasonable one, and one that we've negotiated with Fast Park. No one likes to see new fees, of course, but it's all a part of the operating privileges of the airport and operating income. One other final point is that because the airport is underwritten by the airlines to make it self-supporting, it's important as stewards of the airport that we maximize non-airline revenue, because the non-airline revenue helps mitigate airline rates and charges, which is part of the equation of attracting business to the airport, attracting more service, and generating more customers. So it is important that we do this from a financial standpoint. It's also an important signal to our airline partners, you know, that we are maximizing non-airline revenue to help mitigate their costs. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bateman. First, we'll do our ask if the committee has any questions, and then we'll hear from the public. We have quite a few public response cards. So any questions from supervisors? Supervisor Jersey?
Yes. First, I want to thank Mr. Bateman and Mr. the attorney for spending some time, just so the taxpayer knows, we spent some significant time Friday afternoon of last week talking about this, and I appreciate the opportunity to really get some time to think about it, because I think I've changed my thinking somewhat on this based on some of the information I got. First of all, let me ask you, I know this was before our committee previously. It's in the report, and we laid this over, and to get a lot more information, which you've really provided us. You do have some agreements worked out with the lot owners. Is that correct?
We met with the lot owners. The only agreement that was reached was with Fast Park and Relax, wherein we came to this cost per space per year method rather than a percent of gross. The others have been silent.
And do you have the map that shows where these lots are?
I think so. Let me back up. Yes.
The Wally Park Women Hotel on here, Lakeview.
Okay, which one of those lots has the agreement?
The Fast Park and Relax. It's this large one. Fast Park and Relax. It's the All Right Park. This north of All Right Park, the correct Fast Park and Relax is the Executive Park. And here's the Clarion Hotel, which has some parking in the back. And here is the Executive Park. And this is Wally Park. And this is the Synergy Hotel development with a large office of our being proposed. It hasn't been approved. The final position.
Okay. I appreciate that. The idea of parking cars around the airport, I accept Mr. Bateman's explanation for it. I mean, really, I think the correct focus for me is to look at the person using the airport, the passenger coming in. Passenger coming in does have some options. The green bus, for example, would have absolutely no fees attached to it. We don't charge a curb fee and we don't charge parking fees. Am I correct in that regard?
That's correct.
Although the passenger, of course, would pay the bus fare. So they could actually avoid the additional fees is what I'm saying on that. They have the option of course, getting a ride in through a taxi, et cetera, or if they want to park, they're going to park their car. The ultimate point of having a passenger pay these fees is to, of course, support the airport. The lower our fees are for the airport, the more opportunity we have for additional airlines to use Mitchell because we are a very cost-effective airline. I think that's kind of the train of thought that I was using. But there's one other factor here for me as I represent the South Shore. I personally don't want to see the entire South Shore become a parking lot. So in some ways, I support even a higher fee because the cost of those of that parking lot space should reflect the value of the land as well. So I appreciate the information. I guess I'm willing to listen to the rest of the speakers before I express any further support for this. But I think we've gotten fantastic information. I thank Mr. Bateman for that in his time. Thank you.
Supervisor Bukowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I totally understand that nobody wants new fees or increase in fees. It's up there with fire and locusts, I think. But 2 years ago, this item was very contentious. And it's amazing that it's taken us this long. I think that anybody that was around 2 years ago realized that we were eventually going to get to this status. We're going to get to this state. It just took us 2 years. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it fair. But the bottom line was that that was a free 2 years for people. I guess the other point is that, and I'd like to ask Mr. Chairman, the representative from the county executive's office. Dr. Colton is here representing the county executive, and I know that 2 years ago, the county executive had weighed in opposition. That was one of the reasons that this county board went back to, in essence, the drawing board with Gary Bateman, et cetera. And so I would like to ask the county executive's representative where the county executive is on this new proposal.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a short statement. The county executive is in support of the proposed action to establish a fee for off-airport parking operators. It's been designed by the Department of Transportation to be a fee per parking space, and that is the part he agrees with. I believe 2 years ago it was a different structure. He believes that this new proposal is a strong compromise that protects the county's interests while also encouraging businesses to thrive at the airport.
Did I hear it does not or does? Does support.
All right. Any other comments from supervisors? Okay. Thank you. We'll go to the public comment cards. Mr. Mark Johnson.
Good morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak today. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm the Vice President General Manager of the Best Western at the airport, as well as we operate the Super 8 at the hotel at the airport. I'm also on the Board of Directors of the Airport Gateway Business Association in the bid improvement area there. And I also represent the Greater Milwaukee Hotel and Lodging Association. I'm the president of that association. We addressed this 2 years ago with opposition and appear to speak in opposition of it again from the hospitality side of the business. The majority of the business of the hotels at the airport is related to the airport. If the airport wasn't here, the hotels wouldn't be there. We need to work together and compromise. In the report, Mr. Bateman said that he contacted the hotels around the airport. We never received any notice of a meeting. 2 years ago, there was an initial meeting. We did meet at the airport, but this year My two hotels did not receive it. And the Greater Milwaukee Hotel and Lodging Association, which represents 30 hotels around the Greater Milwaukee area, did not receive that. So I'm kind of displeased with that comment that we were notified and we were silent. As you're going to see today, there's many people lined up to speak, and that, you know, we're definitely not silent because it does impact the bottom line of our businesses. It comes right off the bottom line. There's no additional benefit for the parking lots or the hotels. It's shown on there. There are other hotels that have separate areas for parking that they sell, and you don't have to stay overnight. The majority of the hotels have a stay-in park package that includes up to 14 days parking. But we also find that other travelers need to have additional parking over the 14 days. So then there's an additional charge, anything over the 14. So with this proposal, how does that come into the play? How is it going to be policed? How many spots at the hotel parking are going to be allotted to this 3851 fee? So there's some, you know, obviously some questions that still need to be asked on that. But privilege fees, you know, singling out just certain businesses. There's restaurants, there's retail also around the airport that benefit from the airport, that the traffic and passengers coming there, dining in the restaurants, you know, and had no privilege fee there as well. And they're benefiting. From my standpoint, I have a real concern with the unfair practices. You know, it came up before that the county is competing with these private parking. You guys set your rates there, and it pretty much mandates to it. You know, we proposed why not increasing the extended parking from $6 to $2. In Mr. Bateman's 80-page report that was out, we're looking at, I think it was about $100,000 in generated revenue from this new fee, which by raising the rates on the county-owned parking would definitely probably exceed that mark. So there's, I think, more conversation needs to be brought up. The baggage claim, we're glad to see now that there is some improvements in the pickup area. That was part of the disagreement 2 years ago was there was going to be additional fees, but no improvement, and it was presented that it was going to help with the congestion at baggage claim. But at that time, there was no plan presented for improvement, so that was some of our opposition at that time. So we're happy to see that that's going to be improved. If any of you traveled out in January in a snowstorm and coming back from a vacation in Florida, and your guests and our guests, it's the same base. They're flying out of the county's airport. They're staying at our hotels. We're dealing with the same customers. And standing in the elements, you know, with below zero weather, you know, so that we're very happy to see that improvement there. There still needs to be more improvement in the pickup and congestion, and that hasn't, you know, hasn't been addressed. And I think this committee should take a look at in some master plan of in improving that congestion over there. You know, people are standing on a curb. You've got buses, shuttle buses in and out, very limited space, and you know, we'd like to have that addressed as well.
Right. Thank you very much for your comments.
Okay.
Our next speaker, Jim. Call it Mihaljevic. Pardon me?
Nikolaj Cech.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I was here 2 years ago and back again. This ordinance, if you look to Mr. Bateman's information, singles out the Clarion Hotel. My owner, Ken Rapina, and I met with Mr. Bateman and Corporation Council the other day and said, why the Clarion? Because we have a sign. None of the other hotels have a sign up for parking. Mr. Bateman, yes, sent out a letter January 2nd, 2013, and he invited Exec Park, Clarion Hotel, Fast Park Relax, Econo Park to a meeting. I was there. Only one hotel's on this list. The other two invitations to meeting to the hotels, I've talked to over 20 hotels, most around the airport. Nobody received that invitation. I've been to meetings even before this when this whole issue came up with Scott Walker. And it's a tax in my eyes. He says it's a fee. But we're hotels. The Wyndham Hotel closed. Guess what? About 120 jobs lost. That's a lot of jobs. In this economy, we need every single job. The airport area has a business association. We have private individual businesses trying to grow. In the proposed fees, which I really can't see how the airport can assess a hotel, if you have your parking lots, your fast parks, they have X amount of spots. Sure, but they're parking areas. I gave Mr. Bateman and Corporation Counsel 2 months' worth of parking tickets for our facility in a meeting the other day. In those tickets are stand parks. In those tickets are people who come up and pay $8 a day to park. And we said to them, how can you tell me how many spaces? Because if you, Supervisor Bowen, come into the hotel, the Clarion, and park a car for 3 days, pay me $8 a day, thank you very much, I'll give you your door-to-door service. If you come in on Monday and you leave on Thursday, and Supervisor Haas, even though you probably live close since you're in our district, you park on Tuesday and you stay there till Friday, how do you count that spot? It's used twice in one of those days. In part of the information you all received at Clarion Hotel, 200 spots. That's how 200 spots came to be. It says Clarion Hotel, $7,702. With $700,000, I can employ a driver for over 1,000 hours a year. I would rather pay that $7,000 to a driver, or if we have more people coming in and out of the airport, I would rather hire another waitress, because not only do I have a hotel, yes, we do park vehicles, we also have a conference center and a restaurant and lounge. So if I'm assessed $3,851 and some mathematician comes up with how many spots I should pay, do I have to pay for almost 3 weeks last month when I closed off my parking for anyone pulling up because I have a convention center? Guess what, folks? We had a few good days there where we had a convention center packed. I couldn't park cars. I needed cars for those guests. Did those guests come to us just because we're right by the airport? Maybe they did. Maybe they had somebody fly in. So if we're going to charge me a fee for parking cars, well, since I'm parking cars because I'm close to the airport, should we start looking at fees because I have overnight guests because of the airport? We are all private businesses trying to thrive. I don't want to be the next Wyndham Hotel that has to lay off 100 people. And taking $7,000 out of my bottom line, yes, that could happen. CPS parking operates the airport parking. And question was asked last week to Corporation Counsel Mr. Bateman, well, they have a fee. If you're going to charge the hotels and the off-airport parking for parking spaces, are you going to make an adjustment in the fees to CPS? That's why us, and why not the people who are prospering because the airport parking is there. CPS does prosper, or they wouldn't have a contract. They wouldn't be taking care of the airport parking. So I, for the life of me, can't see where that's fair to the hotels and the parking. Yes, one of the parking places said, we'll pay a fee. We're not parking facilities. Yes, I park cars for a charge a day. There are eight other hotels that do. We're hotels. If we can make a few extra dollars, guess what, guys? We're not fat cats. We're trying to hang on here. You see what's going on in hotel business, restaurants. Restaurants, not only by the airport, they open up and 3 to 6 months later, how many are gone? It's not an easy business. $7,000 is a lot. $7,000 is at least one employee to me. And if I can get a productive employee, I'm going to hire that.
I just want you to kind of wrap it up. We do have others.
I'm going to wrap it up real quick, sir. The airport has 11,441 parking spaces. Out of those, 3,063 are Super Saver. Said to Mr. Bateman 2 years ago, raise your price. He did. I do not know. I asked a question last week how much you made by raising the price a dollar. I don't know. At 50% occupancy, those 3,063 Super Saver spaces, 50%, another dollar increase, $500,000. Heck of a lot more than $100,000. Love that the airport's redoing baggage claim. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is, I believe it's Danielle Johnson.
Daryl Johnson.
Daryl Johnson.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm from the Holiday Inn Hotel on 6th and Layton. It's been noted or mentioned this morning that there was some meetings in March and April. Just stating that our hotel was not involved or made aware of those such meetings, and just also wondering how it was communicated. I have concerns that, yes, I'm in opposition to this fee, to this cost. I'm a much smaller hotel than some of my colleagues that mentioned and spoke before me, but also just have some questions on, is there going to be a cap on this fee? Is this something that's going to be going up in 1 or 2 years? Have some comments, questions were talked about as far as this committee and this group got together 2 years ago to talk about these fees, and it was mentioned that 2 years later we're back again. So in another 2 years, is this going to be a much higher fee? Also wondering about the enforcement of this, how this is going to be so policed or enforced. Are we telling you that we have a number of spots available, and or is it being, or are we being told how many spots that we have to have available? So, to have some questions, have some concerns. In opposition to this, and another fee that, again, a much smaller hotel cannot incur and absorb. Speaking with my colleagues, definitely do not want to have another Wyndham Hotel that's closed and an eyesore on that side of town. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you for your comments. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Question, sir.
Yes.
And perhaps I should have asked while the other gentleman was still up. I'm trying to understand a couple things. I think I'm hearing a couple different arguments, and I'm not sure if they're if you're just sort of stating all your objections or making a case for a specific solution. You know, the past arguments seem to be that operators, the traditional off airport operators, objected to the percentage growth. Mm-hmm. One of the arguments that you've both now made is that the designation of spaces or the way it's calculated in the proposal is problematic. And I'm questioning whether you're objecting. Well, I think I am hearing you say you're objecting
to a flat fee
fully to the assessment of a fee, but you're also seemingly objecting to the formula.
Correct. to a fee, to a cost, to anything that that we additionally are going to have to pay in order to be a striving business in this.
Okay, region. I guess that's what I'm trying to understand, whether there was any common ground in terms of. So you're not acknowledging any justification for there being a fee at all, regardless of what the method of assessment and calculation would be.
We would not like an additional fee or cost, yes.
I'm assuming that you don't want additional fees, but do you not acknowledge that it's some standard in the industry that other people who park around airports have, they pay some fee calculated somehow, and that the point should be that we should get to something that's reasonable?
I guess if I could be shown that information, I'd love to take a look at it.
Thank you. Let's try and get a question. Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this gentleman actually had two very good questions that I'd like to have answered. I'm not sure how you want to do this, if you want to listen to everybody, and we can take down questions and then have Mr. Bateman address them. But I heard this gentleman talk about how we're going to be enforcing things and whether or not there will be a cap on the fee. And so I think those are very legitimate questions that I guess I'm going to ask you as the chair, that maybe at the end of everything, if we could have maybe Mr. Bateman take care of this list of questions.
Yes, actually, once the common cards are done, well, Mr. Bateman and Corp Counsel will come back up and explain any of the questions that the committee has.
Thank you.
So since our speaker is done, we'll call up the final speaker is Tom Rave.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, committee supervisors. I am Tom Rave. I'm executive director of the Gateway to Milwaukee. For the record, I'm also an associate director of Greater Milwaukee Hotel and Lodging Association. One of the primary goals of what the Gateway Milwaukee is doing is to help increase the value of businesses and properties in the Gateway area. And one of the tactics that we use, it's also stated as a goal, is to be actively involved in impacting government direction. So our business association, Mr. Ted Torcivi from the airport is a director, has about 100 members. These include some parking lots and some hotels. Our business association, Airport Gateway Business Improvement District, has 275 owners of 330 properties. These include hotels and parking lot operators. And these are also taxpayers in the area, including to the county. Milwaukee Gateway Aerotropolis Corporation, which is sponsoring Aerotropolis Milwaukee, is a public-private organization. The county itself is a member, along with 9 municipalities, 4 parts of the state. GMIA Director Bateman is a director. Supervisor Jersic is a director. So this is a kind of an interrelated area. For me, you could say it's something of a sensitive position, because I have lots of hats I'm wearing, and we're all involved in this. This is a bit of a sticky wicket. But there's members and property owners that are being potentially impacted by government direction. So I have to make comments from that standpoint, from a business perspective. And my role here today is really to make some observations and ask questions, so that when you come to a point of deciding what to do around this issue, you give full consideration. So Supervisor Borkowski, thanks for thinking of questions, and maybe there'll be a few more along the way. So number one, we want the airport to be a healthy entity. It's a critical transportation asset for Southeast Wisconsin. So that's really important. As an economic entity that has to stand on its own, the airport generates revenues from, the figure I have was 10,600 parking spaces, apparently it's higher than that, and from airlines and ultimately from the passengers. So it's interesting, just observations. In 2012, and this is off of the airport's website, passenger count was down 21%. January of this year is down from January of last year again. And operations, i.e. landings and takeoffs, were down 23% in 2012. And if you go look at the data, it kind of struck me as interesting. I think there were 133,000 operations last year. The last time there was a number that low was in 1954. So clearly there are changes going on in the market and around this, which you have to take into consideration. So my assumption, one assumption is, look at how the airport generates revenues. There's declining passengers, declining operations. So it's reasonable to assume they're having some revenue challenges themselves. Their revenue is probably going down. So from a business perspective, interestingly, what this file is talking about doesn't deal with that at all. It doesn't deal with total revenue for the airport, how this might impact revenue for the airport. It's dealing with something entirely different, which is interesting. So there's a new proposed ordinance to collect fees from only businesses and property owners that might generate $101,000 annually beginning next year. That money will come right out of the pockets of property owners and businesses. They're already paying a fee of $500 to the airport for the use of shuttles. So it's not like they haven't been doing something all along. I think a couple of the hotel operators gave an example. The one I came up with is, if GMIA would simply raise the parking rate by $1 on its 10,600 parking spaces, and if only 40% of the spaces were used throughout the year, and their numbers are higher than that, I believe, that would generate about $1.5 million a year. That's 15 times the amount of money we're talking about around this new ordinance that's being talked about. So it could take this pricing action, but it hasn't. So instead, it's asking the county supervisors to institute a new ordinance to generate revenue for itself at the expense of the owners, who are basically small competitors. There's only one national parking operator in the area. So the question becomes, why? And just because something is legal doesn't necessarily make it the right thing to do. So GMIA indicates other businesses that operate at the airport already pay fees to the airport. Therefore, the parking operators should also, that they're already paying something of a fee. And now they need an ordinance to pay more in a declining market for themselves, is it just for the airport? So is that just to be fair? Because caterers and rental car fees or companies are paying fees, so they should? It's kind of like what I call it's all the lemmings rush to the sea argument for reasons of doing things.
Mr. Rave, I just want to, we have heard like five speakers on this. You're hitting a couple points over. Could you sum it up for us, please?
It'd be a little bit more than a summary because there's some additional important items here.
Talk about the lemmings.
Pardon me?
Talk about the lemmings.
Yeah.
You just can't take a say, well, it's going on elsewhere, so it's okay to do here. So GMI indicates it's independently negotiated a fee of $38.51. That's really an interesting number. I think the ordinance calls for it for 3 years, so it can go up from there. The report indicates there's going to be additional negotiations with FastPark, not with the others, about curb management exercises, and this was an item discussed 2 years ago, which would be an additional potential payment coming out of people using the airport. And when it comes to this concept, let me ask you a question. There are about 11 hotels around 13th and College. If you go down there during the week, oftentimes they are packed. It's not from the airport. It's from Midwest Auto Auction down on I-94, where thousands of people come in to Midwest Auto Auction. They have to stay somewhere overnight. What would you think if Midwest Auto Auction said, hey, Crown Plaza, or hey, Ramada, you're full here, and you're full because we're down there, so you should pay us a fee. Because you're existing because we're down there. Or food operators outside the library. Okay, so they're getting business because there's business at the county library. Should the food operator pay the library a fee because they're there doing business? Or a food establishment across from some factory across from Bucyrus Erie? Well, gee, our employees come over there. I think Bucyrus Erie said, you should pay us a fee because you're getting business because we're here. So that's the concept we're dealing with here. So this includes some hotels also. The airport says there's 58 airports across the country. Only 16 of them, 28%, charge two or more fees. So GMIA is proposing to join that number. And if you do add the curb management fees, that'll make it three fees. There's only 7% of hotels are charging fees to operate. So this is the future we're talking about. A couple of notable airports not listed in the surveys are O'Hare and Midway. You've already heard about the letter to the hotel operators that did not happen. So incidentally, I noticed just in the resolution, I think on pages 45 and 46, it says this committee on March 6, 2013 recommended approval of this. I didn't see that in the minutes of last week. That's what's in the resolution. One other item is that when I looked at the ordinance, I think some work needs to be done in it. There's nothing in there about making payments or payment terms. There's accounting, there's charges, there's penalties, there's interest, but there's no due dates or when payments should be made, et cetera. So I think before you go ahead and vote, you should take a look at that and doing it. So finally, while it may be legal, the question is it appropriate for elected officials to arbitrarily pass an ordinance that would take cash out of the pockets of mostly local businesses who are taxpayers to the county already and elsewhere for the benefit of the airport that the county owns? So that's the sticky wicked part you as elected representatives have. So what is the business rationale for doing that? The airport could take action to get a lot more revenue than doing it this way. So clearly, DMIA would probably like to have this in place before two new large parking lot operators may come in. L&R group of companies, I think I'm talking to them this afternoon, they're evaluating their purchase. That may not even happen. So it may just end up being around $101,000. So I'm asking you really put yourself in the shoes of business and property owners who are the ones who are going to be having to pay the money and say, what's going on here? Will the elected officials vote against their best interests, even though they are ones providing a service to the customers and helping the airport in the times when the airport doesn't have enough parking spaces? Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Bateman, could you come up? Supervisor Borkowski had pointed out that he had two questions. Could you just briefly respond to those two questions about the accounting and
If I could.
Sure. Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, okay. The one question dealt with the whole enforcement process of this deal, along with, and I think we can add in what Mr. Rave was saying as far as the payments and the accountability, and the accounting, rather. I think that can all be looped into this whole enforcement slash processing of this. Could you address that, please?
Chairman, Supervisors, and if I could back up from that, the airport staff sent out a letter to we canvassed the hotels by phone and by website to see which ones do parking without staying overnight. That's who the first class letter went to. Twice. My secretary will attest to that. This ordinance does not affect those hotels that don't do that for a living and don't and just have to stay in park packages. In our meeting with the Clarion, in our meeting that we would like to have the hotels, it is a self-report process wherein they do advise us and attest that they have this many spaces available for parkers on average over the year, and that's what they would pay based on that. Clearly, we will review that as we try to see if they're telling us an accurate number. The Clarion was included in the other off-airport parking companies because they clearly have signs in their front landscape that say airport parking, turn here, and they have a segregated lot in the back that appears to be for that purpose. It's fenced off from the other hotel. They're the only hotel that overtly advertises on the street airport parking, without saying, so they're included in that process. Did that answer your two questions?
Not really, but
any follow-up?
On the ordinance,
You said you wanted to go back. You haven't addressed the questions. You wanted to go back in time as far as how we. And I guess, Mr. Bateman, as I'm sitting here, and kind of he said, she said, I didn't get the letter. You didn't send me the letter. I didn't see this. I didn't see that. Part of me is almost, we've got some people here right now that if we laid this over for at least a month, I think that they are at least owed a meeting, that they can all at least say, listen, we had a kick at the cat, and that, we don't like this. However, you could give them the justification. And I'm thinking, and so I'm jumping over all of my questions here and just simply saying, you know, you've got a significant number of people here, and maybe the gentleman that is the president of the hotel association, he could get on the phone and personally invite everybody. So that part of the discussion, that part of the argument is totally off the table. And so I guess I'm going to ask the first question is, can we lay this over for a month? I mean, you know, we don't turn into pumpkins if we don't vote on this today, correct?
No, you don't.
Okay. So that would be one of my suggestions, but and I'm using your microphone, so. But I want to go back to my questions, okay? And that was dealt with enforcement, okay? The gentleman from the Holiday Inn, how are you going to enforce this? Then Mr. Ray was talking about, you know, what kind of payments, how the accounting is. I think those are all interesting and very valid points as far as how is this processed?
Chairman, Supervisors, proposal before you is to enter into an agreement with the off-airport parking companies, which we would write, and I would address those very issues. And it's a three-year agreement.
Okay.
For those companies that do this as a business, then and who choose not to enter into an agreement, then the ordinance would rule. And it is an assessment of X dollars per space per year. Corporation Council wrote the ordinance. I think it addresses all the concerns, and we can deal with it.
So, do we send out the letters then? Is that what you're saying? The bills, the actual assessment bill. I mean, who actually sends that out?
Well, in terms of the off-airport parking companies, that's easy to count those spaces.
Okay.
In terms of the hotels, they would have to self-report to us how many spaces they use on average per year for the purposes of parking cars only.
Okay. I think I had those questions addressed. The cap on the fee, you're saying it's a three-year term. Okay. I mean, is this locked in for 3 years, that there's no increase? let's face it, and I think the majority of us have been around a long time, that once you establish a fee, it never goes away. It only goes up. Okay, that's just facts of life. And so so what's the process as far as increasing?
The proposal of the fee was negotiated with Fast Park as a three-year commitment, and so it would stay flat for those 3 years. We have to treat all classes of users of the airport the same. So the ordinance would also follow that same logic. But certainly after 3 years is over, if we choose to, the board would have to approve of an ordinance change to change the fee.
Okay. And I guess one final and I guess basic question, and I probably have heard the answer and I just can't recall it. Okay, so if this is really about revenue enhancement from our neighbors, yet the point is made that if you raise the fees by $1 on the parking, we would get substantially more from a revenue standpoint. And I guess my question is that, so what is the ultimate rationale why we're doing this? Because if it was just revenue, then we could do that ourselves. Okay, is this to, in essence, I don't want to say penalize the people that are by the airport, but I mean, so what's the basic objective here?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, it's an interesting argument and statement. I mean, the irony is, yes, we could raise rates, and airport revenues, non-airline revenues, would go up. And we are the price leader. And when we raise rates, guess what they all do? They raise rates. And because we're the big elephant in the room, and that's the goofy part about this is it's almost a gift, you know, when we raise rates because boom, the tide raises. Okay. Now we can't talk about rates in this room because it would be antitrust issues with the folks, but. So we don't discuss that.
I have to advise my client to avoid antitrust issues.
Supervisor, the rationale under which most of these, I say most, 95% of these fees are upheld across the country are that the airport is required by federal regulations to be as self-sustaining as possible. That means the airport is seeking as many sources of revenue to support itself as it can, and that the users taking advantage of the airport infrastructure requires some kind of charge to help pay for that infrastructure. That's been the traditional definition of self-sustaining under the federal regulations. So the goal here is to have all airport users support the expense of developing the infrastructure, operating it, managing it, and doing things like the airport director pointed out, developing it.
Mr. Karaskevich, I understand what you just said, but I'm going to steal an item from one of our speakers, and that was that then the same logic could be used for restaurants and for everybody else around there because those are all people that use the airport too.
As an advocate, that analogy failed on me because those businesses do not use airport infrastructure in the same way that off-airport operations such as rental car companies and parking operations use infrastructure. There are actual wheels on pavement. There's dwell time at the curbs of the airport requiring sheriffs to police those vehicles and airport staff to manage them. No one from the airport is involved in your ordering French fries from a restaurant across the street.
Tomato, tomato. I guess my final thing is that I think I can speak. I'll speak for myself. You know, I'm leaning toward supporting this because. You know, I understand why we do things, and I'm not happy with that. But I am bothered about the fact that it seems like there's a lot of people that were not part of this meeting that had, in essence, two opportunities. They didn't know or they didn't come or whatever. And I guess if we're able to borrow one more month, and I think it's Mr. Johnson. Are you one of the guys from the Hotel Association? And maybe if you could sort of coordinate the neighbors and all that kind of stuff and have one last, in essence, kick at the cat so that when we do bring this back next month, that at least everybody will have had their say and that maybe there's going to be some changes to this. I'm just trying to be somewhat fair here, and if we're not under some kind of timeline, some kind of limit like that, I think that's fair. And so... If that's not going to cause any kind of problems with the department, then I'm going to make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Borkowski. There is a motion to lay the item over for one cycle. Supervisor Haas and then Supervisor Jerzyk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do wish to speak in favor of the layover. And so I will. It was perplexing to me the tales we heard about the two letters that were sent by first class mail, as the director intoned, and the representative saying no such communication was received. So I, for that reason, I'm largely in support of this layover. Secondly, it will not make a critical difference for the ongoing success or operation of the airport if it is slightly delayed, and I think. Gaining insight into the how of this resolution and ordinance change would do us well in the long run. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Jerzyk.
The one follow-up question I have for Mr. Bateman goes to the issue that was raised of a parking business versus the hotel. And the ordinance, the formula with regard to the hotel, did you actually look at the number of rooms in a hotel versus the number of parking spaces in that business's lot and whether there's excess parking space there?
No, we didn't.
It might be something that would be useful. I mean, then what I have is an issue with regard to land use. The whole issue of land use around the airport, if the business plan revolves around running a parking lot as opposed to a business plan that truly is running a hotel, I think there is a difference.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the city usually have ratios requiring rooms versus and parking availability. Some hotels obviously have excess space, and that's why they get into this business of airport parking. It probably runs seasonal, too. Summers are busier than other times, and so they don't have as many excess spaces. So that's why. But, again, we did a website search to see which hotels do offer this as a business versus parking their hotel guests.
In other words, they are actually expressing their business plan is to run a parking lot.
In a small degree, yes.
Okay. I appreciate that follow-up. I mean, you know, we do have an issue here. I mean, we have a bid district that clearly advertises their a bid district around the airport and the gateway, and they too charge a fee because of that.
Right.
So, I mean, this is not an unusual situation. And you know, with regard to the Wyndham, the city of Milwaukee very much would like to see a town center type plan. But my understanding, the owner that wants to develop it just wants to develop a parking lot. So there is a reason sometimes for making this space more valuable. I support that. I think it goes to the best use of the property, as well as running a very economical airport. So business plans that are just revolving around running a parking lot, I think, do need to pay for that. And as I understand it, you've got a $38.51 per space per year, which if you divide that by the number of days in a year, it's 11 cents per day, I think. So those parking spaces that are closer to the airport are more likely to support that. Whereas the more remote you get, you might not fill a space every day, and then it's no longer just 11 cents per day, but the few days you're using it. So it gets more dear, is what I'm saying, and that supports good land use. So I think this has been thoroughly looked at and reviewed. And I would just say as to notice, what are we, potted plants? 2 years this has been going on. We've given good notice. This is government. We conduct ourselves in public forums, and in fact, you are here. So I'm not going to support a layover, although, as I understand it, it probably wouldn't cause us too much pain to have a layover, but I'm not going to support it. I think we've given good notice and a good hearing, by the way. I think we've had a good hearing. We've heard both sides, so thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Mayo. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out several things. I agree with Supervisor Jersic. This is the first time this is coming up, and I think while a layover might be good to, I know, let people talk, I think we probably should get this squared away. I know where I stand on this policy, and it's something that's already being done across the country, and we are behind, and it looks like that we need to catch up. I don't think Milwaukee County taxpayers should be subsidizing these businesses. I think they have an opportunity to pay their fair share when it comes to taking care of airport infrastructure. I mean, if you think about how many times their shuttles are going across on our infrastructure every day, you're looking at dozens or maybe even 50 rides a day that they're continuously driving on that infrastructure. The average taxpayer isn't using airport infrastructure, not to that degree. And I think These businesses have an opportunity, like I said, to support that. And I think the Wyndham is a bad example. The Wyndham Hotel was not a sustainable model, and that's why it closed, not because of fees or things of that nature or taxes. So I don't think we need to be put in the light that the Milwaukee County Board or the Milwaukee County is pushing businesses to close because they have fees to pay to support infrastructure. I think that's a false argument. So I think we need to do the right thing and move forward on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to vote against the layover. This committee has been very transparent on this item for the last 2.5 years. There's no one in the community can say what we've been trying to do and work with the airport. And I came on the tail end, but I hope no one suggests that Milwaukee County created a business to go out of business, because the hotel, that changed hands 3 or 4 times, and this is the first time it closed. And for all the different entities around the airport, the reason why they're at the airport is because of the airport. And some hotels, if you go to their website, they even advertise, if you stay here, you can park here as long as you're gone. So let everybody pay their fair share and make this a win-win for the residents, the guests, the flyers of Milwaukee County. Thank you, and I hope you feel better back there.
Thank you, Supervisor. Seeing no other questions, Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll on the motion to lay over?
Mayo.
No.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
No.
Lipscomb.
No.
Haas.
Aye.
Bowen.
No.
Mr. Chair.
No.
2 ayes, 5 noes. The motion to lay over fails.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Supervisor Mayo.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move approval.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. Any other comments from the committee? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Mayo.
Aye.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas. Bowen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you, and thanks for your comments.
Madam Clerk.